Welcome. In Obedience to Him is a broadcast dedicated to the things of God, according to the Bible. News, church, life, with your host, Robin James.
Of the grace, peace, and mercy of our Father Yahweh to you today, and welcome. I'm just going to bring to you in this broadcast a little more of last broadcast. I was questioning in the last broadcast the traditions and practices that have been passed down through church fathers, natural family, or whomever and wherever you or I may have picked up the things we have practiced without knowing where it came from. Some good, some bad. And I find when talking about these things and me being relatively new to Hebrew roots, I am questioned. Why do I say Hebraic mindset? Why do I say Hebrew roots and not Jewish roots? Why do I do that? And from my understanding, and don't get me wrong, I am very clear on Yeshua being from the tribe of Judah or a Jew. Yet I would think that being of the lineage of Judah would make him Hebrew, because Judah was the son of Jacob, or Israel, who was the son of Abraham, the father of our faith, a Hebrew, or, you know, one who crossed over from beyond or far. When I read, I understand that the purpose for which Yahweh chose Abraham was because he knew that he would teach the Hebrew way, or Yahweh's way, of how he himself chose to leave his own natural father's house, his kindred, and their way of doing things to a new way. And not only would he choose to do Yahweh's, or to go Yahweh's way, but he would teach his children the same. Genesis 18 says, "And Yahweh said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of Yahweh to do justice and judgment, that Yahweh may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him," which was Abba's promise in Genesis 12. Now Yahweh has said unto Abraham, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You shall be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So with all the negativity I've heard and I'm hearing and I've read about Hebrew roots, some people wondered why I say Hebrew and not Jewish. And this is why, because this is what I see. And there is a difference between Jews, or the Jewish, who keep Yahweh's word, and those who keep the traditions of men's commentaries of Yahweh's Torah. For instance, I can remember late 80s, early 90s, trying to get an understanding of Yeshua. And I knew some very nice Jewish people, but I found out very quickly that many of their practices were not scriptural either, but had just as many symbolic man-made rituals as Christianity. So although I do care that Yeshua is Jew, the same way I don't want to be a part of Christianity's practices like Christmas and Easter, I don't want to be part of Jewish traditions and practices that I find aren't biblical either. You know, I'm still depending on Father and by His Spirit, as we all should, as to what is of Him and what is of these Pharisaic oral laws and traditions. I mean, you've got the Zionistic, the Kabbalistic, and any number of other religious organizations and denominations that are different practices from the truth which is in Him. He is the express image of our Father. And some Jewish people look at me and all non-Jewish people in a kind of non-favorable manner. You know, I listen to some very good teachers who are Jewish, and when they teach, you can still kind of hear the divisiveness in their teaching. sometimes because of their affinity for the Talmud, you know, we all still have some filth in us, and we're all getting purged of those things as we draw closer to the Father. So I'm not blaming them. I'm not saying that it's taking anything away from their teaching, but I do hear them use phrases like my people, and when my people such and such, and us and you, meaning Jew and Gentile, and of course Christians who are coming into this whole movement, and you know, they want to embrace all of those Jewish cultural traditions, and I don't see them as being all good. So that's why Romans 10 says there's no difference between Jew and Greek, that he is the same over all and is rich unto all that call upon him, and whoever shall call upon his name shall be saved. Galatians 3 says there's neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, male or female, that we are all one in Yeshua, our Messiah. And if we are the Messiah's, then we are Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise. What is that promise? That all the families of the earth would be blessed through him. Talking about the Passover in the last broadcast in Exodus 12, there is the instruction to Moses that this would be the first month of the year for Yahweh's people, and the instruction for Passover and unleavened bread. The 14th verse says that in that day that it would be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast unto Yahweh throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an ordinance or an established custom, a practice, one that came from Yahweh. And get this, forever. Keep it a feast forever. And 23 says, for Yahweh will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood upon the lintel or on the two side posts, then Yahweh will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to you and to your sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when you have come to the land which Yahweh will give you, according as he has promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean you by this service? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of Yahweh's Passover. Not the Jews' Passover. Yahweh's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshiped. Skip down to 37, and the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men besides children, and a mixed multitude, 38, went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. Foreigners, strangers, uncircumcised people, hired servants, couldn't eat of the Passover. However, in this mixed multitude, if you willed to practice the Passover, if you believed the God of Israel and willed to practice the Passover to Yahweh, if you skip down to verse 48, let's see, it says, and when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep Passover to Yahweh, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised people shall eat thereof. And then it goes on to say about this mixed multitude, one law shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. Thus did the children of Israel as Yahweh commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. And it came to pass the selfsame day that Yahweh did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. So verse 48, when it says, and when the stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to Yahweh, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. He's going to be as one that is born into the land. And it appears here, this practice of protection and relationship for the mixed multitude of folks who believed came through that grafting in process. Romans 11 tells us of this process and how we're not to talk bad about or think as some others do, some other believers do, that they have replaced Israel, in particular the Jews, when in reality we're grafted, we're all grafted into the same root. Some were broken off, and we're not to boast that they were broken off so we could get in. It's sad how people bunch up in groups and want to foolishly compete with other groups to be Father's favorite. And not necessarily Father's favorite, but to be right, to be the right one in an argument. In an argument of what none of us really understands completely. I think that's just sad. This was an issue for Yeshua and his disciples then, and it is for many of us today. In John 8, starting at, the 12th verse. Then spake Yeshua again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. 18, skip down to 18 and 19. I am one that bears witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. Then they said unto him, and this is the Pharisees, where is thy Father? Yeshua answered, you neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. And it says they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. They studied Torah. They studied Tanakh. They studied the writings, the prophets. Why didn't they know he was speaking of Father? Maybe it's because they were so embedded in their oral traditions, their oral law. That oral law, by the way, that rabbinical commentary, some of which teaches that the rabbis supersede the word of Yahweh, makes more sense. At least it does to me when I read the interactions between the Pharisees and Yeshua, because it's the ultimate in man worship, where it becomes more and more about outward appearance, about man-made ritual and works. Like Yeshua said, whitewashed tombs full of dead man's bones. And this is what happens to all of us in life to some degree, I believe. For me, I never fit into organized religion. Graciously, of course, like many of us, Father used us there because we were learning, we were still being drawn to truth. Each and every day that we walk with him, we should be drawing closer and closer to truth. But I never fit because I needed answers in that particular arena or organization. I was constantly questioning about things that seemed so unclear according to our practice when it came to what I read in scripture. So I questioned. And I suppose I was finally ready, or the time had come for me to move on to more understanding. Because when Father began to speak to my heart about seriously getting into understanding more about the roots of our faith, that's when I started getting the answers I couldn't seem to get, because I was so involved in organized Greco-Roman westernized mindset of a religion. And that happens when you're constantly in that atmosphere. Well, anyway, if you jump down to, let's see, because the 22, the Jews are still, they're still questioning him, and he tells them, you're going to die in your sins if you don't believe I am who I say that I am and my relationship to the Father. And let's see, in, I really want to get down to here. Oh, we're in 30. Well, 20, 29. It's so beautiful. And he that sent me is with me, Yeshua said. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. I want to be able to say that. And it be true in Father's eyes and Father's nostrils. I think that is one of many of the most beautiful statements. You know, they're all beautiful, but when they speak to you at the moment where you are, it seems that it's just an explosion of more beauty than you've seen as many times as, and let me speak for myself, as I've ever seen a scripture that I've read and read and read again and again and again. Some of you know what I mean. And as he spake, 30 says, many believed on him. 31, then said Yeshua to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. You'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. And then some of them rebutted, we are Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How can you say you shall make us free? And then he talks about who commits sin is a servant of sin. This is Yeshua. He says, you know, a servant doesn't abide in the house forever, but a son does. This is why it was necessary for there to be a circumcision to sojourners and strangers and servants who want to participate in the will of our Father. Because you know what? People can do good deeds that are biblical and scriptural, and never have given their life to Yeshua or understand why they practice those good things or why they should. Now, there's a whole bunch of people out there that feel that apart from faith in the Most High, that it's all about the good deeds. We want to be a light that shines so well that people understand our love for our Father is the purpose behind what we do, the good deeds we do. Not because we're just do-gooders. Yeshua said, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. He said, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered again, and they said, Abraham is our father. And Yeshua said to them, if he were your father, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham, but you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I have heard from the Father. And this is not what Abraham did. Abraham crossed over, right? Abraham responded. Yeshua said, you do the works of your father. And let's see, skip. He asked him, why don't you? Yeshua said, why don't you understand my speech? Because you can't hear my words. He tells them, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And let's see, I'm trying to skip down again. He says that Yeshua says, I honor my father. I don't seek my own glory. Skip, skip, skip. He talks about Abraham having seen this day, having seen Yeshua's day, and how glad he was. And of course, they couldn't pick up the spiritual because of being so engrossed in works, I believe, and traditions. They couldn't see the spiritual aspect of the faith of Abraham in order to understand Yeshua's day. It's in this leading and looking after this leading that the Father is continuing to connect me with all of the answers that I couldn't get through scripture according to Christianity or any other particular sect, by the way. I mean, there were some things, of course, that I would not have been able to learn had I not come to the Father through Christianity. But as I said before, we should constantly be moving and growing from good, acceptable, to perfect, or perfection or perfected or, you know, reaching towards that goal. And it is because of the mixture of Mithraism or sun god worship that so many of the customs of Christianity couldn't possibly help me to understand, because the thought pattern was askew, right? So it's so spiritually eye-opening to find that what I thought was all right with Father as far as some of my practices were concerned were actually not acceptable to him at all. And although I was practicing them, it was so funny. Although I was going to church on the first day, I was still keeping the seventh day for years, for years. And I'm grateful to the Father for that. You know, we can be ignorant worshiping simply because it was what we were taught. And that's fine until you learn how to read for yourself, until Father begins to tug on your heart for something more, greater understanding, to put that draw out in you and for you to become more responsible for your own growth and relationship with him. I'm so grateful to the faithfulness of our Father, that he is so faithful, that he is so trustworthy, that he is not a liar, and he can be trusted not to leave us ignorant.
Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate you. And until next time, remain in obedience to him.